out here or sing it.
Anytime you're ready.
Are we ready?
When you're ready.
All right, here we go.
Good morning, Boston!
We did it! Live from the crow's nest. Thank you, Jim Del Pies.
Good job.
He's been threatening to play the Good Morning Gloucester theme song written by Earl and Arch Gloucester till the end on his flugelhorn for probably 2 years now.
Well, yeah. We've been missing it because of all the
2 years.
You know, you haven't had it on the start for a while because of all the technical stuff.
I think you were just saving it for a special occasion. This is our 300th episode.
Hey, good morning, Gloucester, baby.
300. We made it. And come on in, if you don't worry, we're not trying to impede the drinking here. So anybody, make sure people... Suzanne, if anybody comes in and they think that they have to stop, do not impede them to get to the bar to get a drink.
There we go.
Suzanne, we want to make sure this is a for-profit enterprise here.
The crow's nest.
Send him in the back door. Tourist on camera before he walks away. He's a tourist, right?
So I'd like to thank Jennifer Lee Levitz from KPAN TV. She's behind the camera. On a nice Saturday.
Check, 1, 2, check.
Also known as.
We're going to go around. Everybody's going to introduce themselves, starting with Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim Smith. Good morning, Gloucester.
Nicole Schraft. Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Mike Corder. Gloucester.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy, Joe's former high school lover.
Hey, wait. Don't forget Larry Pye.
Hello! Hello, everybody!
Larry Pye making a guest appearance. I'm Joey Schumacher, your host. This is the first time podcast virgin Marianne Chatford is here. You go by Chatford or do you go by?
I go by Chatford.
Chatford.
Once a Chatford, always a Chatford.
There we go. Chatford. Yeah. Well said.
I just want to say I'm happy it's a little past noon because it's a glass of
wine. There we go.
So, I'm glad we started late.
Pat Del Pies, good morning, Gloucester.
Jim Del Pies, good morning, Gloucester.
There you go. So last night we got after it a little bit, Chris and I and lovely Kate and the Lafadas and the DiGiorgios, and we went on this crazy hayride where we thought we were going to meet our ultimate demise because it was in like the fields of the corn, the kind of a scene. Right, Chris?
Yeah, scary. One of the scariest things I've ever done.
And so we got really drunk last night. So my plan was to put our show notes together last night, but we didn't.
Good planning.
So we put our show notes together in basically 20 minutes on the way here, and from the back shore here to here, there was a pack of about 30 bicyclists, right, Chris?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Something I've never seen before.
Looked like 10 pounds packed in a 5-pound bag.
They all had the funny suits on.
But they were in the entire road.
They were in the middle of the road. And Chris got us here safely.
Thank God.
But we basically...
No bicyclists were harmed in the making of this.
No.
We have to put that out there,
good
right?
Good point.
Well, not everyone just drinks. Some people get exercise.
That's true. But we're here drinking on a Saturday morning at the Crow's Nest.
Saturday afternoon now, let's be specific.
Sorry, it's afternoon.
It's after 12, so it's officially afternoon. But the funny part about it was, living in Gloucester, Massachusetts, we were able to put in a full thing of show notes in 20 minutes. And because we live in this town,
yep.
Any other town, you probably wouldn't be able to pack in a full podcast full of show notes.
Good
is
job.
My guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But Marianne, the Chatford family and your family has owned the Crow's Nest for a while.
Actually, that's kind of like a. It's not really true.
It's not okay. It's not true.
My husband has owned it for a long time. First his father, when he passed, my husband took over. My mother just worked here, but everyone thought the Chatford family.
Oh, do you want me to?
Wow.
All right.
So the Sousa family owned it?
Yes.
And still owns it?
And still owns it.
Wow. But people would associate the Chatfords because of the movie, intensely with the Crow's Nest.
Right. And because of my mother. She was such a big presence here when she worked here. And that's when I started dating Greg. It was good job insurance for my mother.
They couldn't fire your mother, no matter what she did behind the bar, because they had to take care of the pretty fiance.
And that was 32 years ago, so.
And you guys are still together.
I know.
The bar industry is a tough business to be married in.
Exactly. And since I've retired from school teaching, I've been working here. I give it maybe a year, our marriage, you know, working together. A little tough.
Wow. So Kate and I, my beautiful wife, who told me when I asked her for show notes, I said, what should we talk about for the podcast? She said, make it all about me.
As it should be.
As it should be. But we got engaged here on Christmas, this past Christmas Eve. And when I tell that to people, they're kind of like, you got engaged at the Crow's Nest? And I said, yeah. And we had a blast, right?
You know, we give it at least a 5-year guarantee when you get engaged.
Really? That's good, because
if you want to take out the warranty, we can give it 10.
Well, that's good. But so can you explain to people, because we love it here. Kate and I, we come here. Were we here for on Easter as well?
Yes.
We're here on Easter.
We come Thanksgiving, we have free food, and Christmas we have dinners. We have really good food here.
So can you explain for the viewers what? So I think people have a certain perception of the Crow's Nest. What is your perception of what this place stands for?
Okay. And they do have that until they come in and get to know people. But to me, this is family. I mean, we have the school teacher Christmas parties here. We have, we've had weddings here. We've had people get engaged here. I mean, this is family. This is my family. And it's been for 35 years since I've been coming in here before I met Craig, because my mom worked here. And my mom started the tradition of family here, cooking meals for people. Anyone needed anything, she was always there for them, as the people here.
So Kate and I, Kate's father, we love it here. I feel more comfortable here than any other bar in the whole city.
Because there are many more real bars in Gloucester. You have the Crow's Nest, you have Pratties.
Well, I would also put the Rum Line in there.
Oh, the Rum Line too, of course.
I'll put the Rum Line in there too. But what's that, Kate?
Made an appearance.
She was just on camera.
They panned to
Kate. Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, I mean, it is. So people, I think that people think that it's a rough and tumble place. It is anything but a rough and tumble place.
Exactly, it's not. And sometimes I get a little defensive when people say, oh, I would never go in the Crow's Nest. I just say, you don't know what you're missing. I mean,
the people
are great here. I mean, everyone at this bar, all the regulars, you know, we have so much fun here. And one of my best friends, Pixie Harrington, she has been harassing my husband for years. When I retire, I want to work at the Crow's Nest. And that came because during snowstorms, blizzards, we walk down here, we sit around the bar, we talk with people, we bring food, and it's so much fun. She's like, I want a job here. So finally, she got a job here. She retired a year before me, and she got the job.
Oh, wow.
I can't really get in. I'm trying really hard to get in.
So wait a second. Greg won't give you an official shift?
Yeah. He said he won't fire anyone for me. So I have to respect that.
God bless him.
I'm the number one sub here, so.
There we go.
I'm working tonight, everyone. And
Oh, nice. Joe, I just got to jump in. I've had many Bloody Marys in my life. And folks, if you want a good Bloody Mary, the Nest is the place to go.
Cheers to Crow's Nest.
I'll drink to that.
Notice mine's gone.
Cheers.
But only come when Greg's working, because they're a pain in the...
I was going to put that footnote, but I didn't want to upset anybody.
No.
But you got to get it from Greg.
What was the other shot that we did? The pancake shot.
Sounds like a Bob thing.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
T-shirts for everyone.
I don't know who made that. I would not know how to make that. If I don't know how to make something, I just say, well, we don't have that.
There you go.
You order something fancy, yeah, we don't have that.
I'm worried that Joey didn't press recording.
No, I'm good. I'm using Kate's.
You seem awful nervous today.
Yeah. I'm not nervous at all. I'm not nervous at all.
I was just checking.
So, Chris, so we went on this horrific.
Yes, dear.
We're not going to I never should have had him sit next to me. I never should have had him sit next to me. So we're not going to mention the name of the place that we went last night.
No, some farm.
We went to one of these farms where they do hay rides.
Yes.
I want you to take over now and explain us the situation.
Oh, man, so we have a friend who was sitting around a table, and she decided, why don't I bring my friends to a farm for a hayride? So we all agreed, I don't know why, but we took this bus to this unknown farm, took a hayride out into the middle of nowhere. And
it was a scene like you thought. We thought we were going to die.
Corn. Children of the corn.
We thought we were going to get hacked up into a million.
And what do you know? We pull up to this beautiful fire pit, stone fire pit. Like, oh my God, this
logs,
is going to be heaven.
Logs,
everything. What do you know? Tim, Tom, Theodore, whatever our hay driver. Tractor driver was, whatever his name was.
He had one job.
He had one job. Get us there, start the fire, and get us back. So really, three jobs.
Three jobs.
And the wood was wet. The wood was wet, so we had no fire. We had a smoke out. The amount of smoke, I've never seen as much smoke. We're choking. We all have black lung. I think we all have black lung now.
But the whole idea was to go to this field and do s'mores and a fire pit. And this guy, you could see the sweat beads coming down.
Oh, the poor guy.
Because he couldn't get the fire pit
going. It was his first hayride.
Oh.
It was his first hayride.
Man, I hope he cut the guy a break.
He was 23 years old. But you know what? He was a great kid.
We had a blast.
Why is he not here right now?
He laughed.
Yeah,
I know. He should be here right now. But a shout out to him for putting up with Joe. Joe was very vocal about the fire not working, and Joe, being the Cub Scout,
I was
the
biting
Boy
my
Scout,
tongue.
The American Scout that you were in high school, I remember that. You used to wear that green uniform.
Well,
Joe tried to help him. Joe started helping him light the fire, and he was unsuccessful because of the wet wood. It all came down to the wet wood.
So the thing is, you would think if you went to a place that the whole idea is to have s'mores and things, that they would know that you have to have dry wood. That's like campfire 101.
101.
And to go there and like to not be able to get a fire pit going was literally comical.
And the whole idea was to get out there and be able to make s'mores.
Right.
And what do you need when you make s'mores?
Fire.
No. We had no fire. We
no
had
fire.
Smoked s'mores.
So this is Gloucester Cast 300.
300.
Thanks for the reminder.
So
that's why we're here?
That's why we're here. And I just want to give a little bit of history.
Are we done with the hayride?
We're done with the hayride.
Are you sure?
Wait, do you want to talk about Laramie Pie?
No, but we got home.
We tell people
we got home.
We did survive. Well, hence us being here. I think that gave it away. That's all right. So it's our 300th podcast. So a little bit of background. Good Morning Gloucester started December of 2007. The first podcast was January 23rd of 2011. And it was with I did it with a guy named Kenny McCarthy, who was a real estate agent. And so that was January 23rd. In mid-2013, we started to tape them regularly. And Kim and Toby it was basically Kim, Toby, and I. And we would have random guests. From that point on, Kim has basically been the other, besides myself, has been a constant. Toby has moved on. And our first 100th podcast was taped on October 25th, 2014. And from that point on, we pretty much did them regularly on a weekly basis. The 200th was taped September of 2016. So you can see 2 years later, here we are with another 100.
Yeah.
A little faster, too.
You need a vacation, Joey.
What's that?
You need a vacation.
Yeah.
But so the whole idea behind the podcast is, so we kind of masquerade as we're really trying to get information out to people. But the fact of the matter is, we just like the exercise of getting together and having coffee and people bringing us food and shooting the shit. Right?
Yeah.
Can we say shit on K-Band TV? We'll let it go.
I know, that's my favorite part too.
So, one of our recent regulars, Susan Lipset, she lives in Atlanta in the winters, but she's been bringing us treats regularly.
We miss you, Susan.
Yeah. We miss Susan Lipset. So a little shout out to her.
Not just because of your pastry.
Well, that's a big part of it, though.
It's
a big part.
We have popcorn.
Yeah.
There's popcorn here.
Where's pizza?
But I really would like to give a shout out to all the people throughout the years that bring us food when we tape.
Yeah.
Because those are the people that mean the most to me. Yeah. Not my friendships at all. It's the people that bring me food.
Hint, hint.
What's that?
Hint, hint for future podcasts.
And what?
Hint, hint for
hint,
future
hint for future podcasts is right. Yeah. So in a little known fact, the people that bring like food to us tend to get more and more free advertising and shout outs on the podcast in the future. It always amazes me that when we invite people that have a food product like a bakery and we have them come on and they don't like bring like a handful of pastries. Like, what is it going to cost them to bring a handful of pastries and they don't bring it? And then like from that point on, pretty much they're dead to me.
Yeah.
I never mention them ever again.
You don't want to be in that demographic of dead to you.
No.
Joey approved.
This means free drinks for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking, calculating how much is it going to cost me to give
everyone free drinks. No.
Come on, guys. No, we all know it's either Joey approved or you're dead to me.
Yeah, there's no in between.
There's no in between.
But it really doesn't have to be a lot, though. It's just, it's more the gesture than anything else. Like literally, like if say we were doing something to do with like a food product, like maybe like a cow share. If they brought
big
like
share or big share.
No. But like say like they brought like a couple of ribs from a cow share or something like that.
There you go.
We'd probably promote the cow share like on a weekly basis after that for a long time,
that's
right?
A good point, Joe.
But if they didn't bring any cow ribs, probably not gonna talk about them too much.
That is shameless self-promotion.
Right? Is that right?
You're being shameless.
You're going to be right with the whole cow show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good point, Joe.
You deserve blaming behind your head.
I want to talk about my cousin Larry called me up last week. My cousin Larry's father, Cosmo Marcantonio, him and his crew was lost at sea, and much like your brother,
yeah,
Bobby.
I remember.
And I was looking in the back corner. Sam Nigro painted an oar of the Andrea Gale.
Yes.
Sam Nigro paints these incredible oars with I don't know if you can catch that or not. Don't worry about it if you can't. But my cousin Larry wanted an oar painted with a picture of his father's boat, the Captain Cosmo, that was lost at sea. He contacted Sam a week ago and already has an oar with a beautiful scene of the Captain Cosmo in the ocean. And
it means a lot.
They're beautiful to pictures.
Yeah, they are. They're very nice.
It's really nice. And a friend of mine liked it so much, we got her one for our her retirement present with Good Harbor Beach. But something like this, he just gives them, something to do with them.
Yeah, he did one of the wharf, Captain Joe and Sons. Yeah. We have it prominently displayed at our dock. He has one in the State House he gave to Safathia or
the City Hall.
In the City Hall, he has one at the State House. So he's really a treasure, and he does a lot for the community.
One that people can bid on right now, Anthony Jim Bonko fundraiser.
Matza, just say Matza. People know Matza.
On Matza's fundraiser, it's a greasy pole.
So I don't know if you can get Kim's audio, but right now there is an online auction to benefit Safathia's brother and Greasy Pole legend Matza Giambanco. And there's a bunch of auction items. One of the auction items just happens to be one of Sam Nigro's painted oars with a depiction of the Greasy Pole. I don't stuff. I just want to make. Hey, Bobby Ryan's leaving. Bobby Ryan of Ryan Wood. Bobby, come up here for 1 second.
Before you leave.
Bobby Ryan. Bobby Ryan, I just want a big shout out. In the beginning of Good Morning Gloucester, has always been a big supporter of ours. During the schooner, when we go on our schooner sales, Good Morning Gloucester, rum sales and cigar sales, Bobby's generously come out every time, whenever we've asked him to. So Ryan and Wood Liquor, the distillery. Bobby, do you have anything to say?
No, I'm just enjoying Gloucester. I have to go to work, but there's so much to do. When you were growing up, how much was there to do here? I mean, get out of bed and look for.
Well, he never got invited anywhere, but.
I was a Solace Corner kid. That's why I never got invited anywhere. But did you know these were my cousins?
Yes, we're cousins.
Oh, Ryan, I never put that together.
Yes, and my sister Paula. Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thanks for everything.
And I'm looking forward to Cigar and Rum Crew. I'm looking forward to coming out and visit you and get some Ryan and Wood in here.
Come tonight after work. I'll be here.
All right. Good.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Don't work too hard.
Cheers.
Yeah. Anyway, so Chris McCarthy, congratulations. You're the new owner of Two Sisters, I hear.
No, but my wife and I stopped in there the other day. As some of you may know, it's under new ownership. And I grabbed her business card, and her name is Chris McCarthy.
Oh, my.
Same spelling and everything. So
I had no idea. I thought it was you that bought it.
I did not. I was contemplating it, but my wife comes from a family of four sisters, and we were told we could not switch it from two sisters to four.
I said,
sorry, deals are
out.
We're out.
Take care, guys.
Hey, Nebraska. Nebraska's leaving the house. Come here, Nebraska. Come here. We got to say hello.
No one can do that.
People. So we want to know why you picked Gloucester. Why did Nebraska pick Gloucester?
So what brought you to the you to the Crow's Nest?
Don't tell me the car broke down.
There's a wedding here in town. A fellow from Nebraska married a girl from here or somewhere around here.
Okay.
So we had the wedding here, and we've been here for the weekend. And
very good.
So what do you think of the place? Is this your first time to the Crow's Nest?
First time to this end of the world.
Okay? Wow. There you go. Well, we're glad you're here.
You know, people were saying, well, it's a Crow's Nest, okay? And I said, well, okay, so we come down here. It's like where we grew up, okay?
Yeah.
It's like where we grew up. Speak a little bit different.
Regular people here. Regular people.
Yes, it is.
No pretension here at all.
This is the world.
This is it.
Gritty so people. So the Crow's Nest, really
hardworking, hardworking Americans.
Yeah,
I love it.
Make it great again.
What do you think of the ocean? What do you think of the ocean? See? You got to move closer to the ocean.
I really never seen the tide work until I got here.
Yeah.
Joey, you need to come out of the dark.
I have to believe
Yeah, we're on top of the ocean in Nebraska. We're on the aquifer there. No, we're on the aquifer.
We're going to give Chris a shot.
There's an ocean underneath us.
Ocean underneath.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
You know what? Next time, no Irish goodbyes. We don't allow this here. We call the Irish goodbye when you just like get up and leave.
Up and
Thank you, Nebraska.
Wait.
Enjoy your visit.
Explain to me, what's an Irish goodbye?
An Irish goodbye is when you just slip out the door.
Oh, you duck out. You duck out without saying goodbye.
Yeah, you don't say goodbye. I have a rule here. You say goodbye when you leave.
Peace.
That's a rule.
They're getting good. Wait, your friend wanted to know about that bag above her head. I saw her wondering.
What is it there with the bag?
That is that bag. So it came from Buck Pudister, who was a fisherman who he wasn't lost at sea, but he did fall off the dock and drown, and it was a very sad incident. But in Newfoundland, you put a bag up in the doorway, and they think it's a hornet's nest, and the flies stay away.
The flies.
The flies
I
stay away.
I thought it was a wasp.
No.
We're gonna do that on Christmas.
Looks like a hornet's nest.
Hang
it
a bag
up
on Chris's
nose. We need a bag right here. Can we put a bag right here?
A two bagger.
Oh, that's good.
Wow,
zing.
Cheers.
Zing. Out of the Crow's Nest.
Zing.
Oh, beautiful.
I love you, smart people.
I was wondering about that.
Where are you guys from?
Hi, folks.
Yankees suck! Yankees suck! Yankees suck! Yankees suck!
Oh,
the crow says, yeah, you suck!
We better win today. After that.
We come in peace.
They weren't expecting that sort of greeting.
Hey, Rachel Ruffel. Right. Rachel Ruffel, come on over here, Rachel. Rachel, come on in.
That's what we're doing.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel, come on in here.
Hey, Rachel, how are you? I love you.
Rachel Ruffel, a good friend of ours.
Raffalo, yeah.
Raffalo.
Yeah, I married in.
Right, but originally the match.
Right.
Owner, so are you on the title of the Cape Ann campsites yet, or?
Corporation, sure.
You're in. So your family has been one of the biggest benefactors in the city, very involved, the library, the Matt's room at the library.
Yeah, our room, yeah.
And I just wanted to say, how often do you come into the Crow's Nest?
Not often. How many times? This may be my third time.
But I do have to say one thing you might know about her. Unbelievable parent, PTO, head of PTO,
yeah, he knows.
Involved in the school. Oh, he does that. Okay. Fire, so
thank you, though.
That's
she's also a Facebook icon.
I am?
Yeah. Yeah. You're up there with Lillian LaGrasso. Like I think you and Lillian, like neck and neck as far as iconic Gloucester and Sabathia, I guess. Iconic Gloucester Facebook people.
I didn't know that. Thank
well,
you.
You're outspoken.
Oh, I am outspoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm definitely outspoken.
So your business, Cape Ann Campsite,
yep.
is a kind of a business just like the Crow's Nest, like generational business.
Correct, yes.
That people that come to this town love. Because people come down to the dock all the time from on your recommendation to see like the realness of Captain Joe and Sons. They come down to the Crow's Nest to see the realness of Gloucester in the campsite. Same type of family run businesses in Gloucester. And what does it mean to you to have people that have come back to you year after year to Cape Ann campsites? Like, isn't that a kind of a special thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's not just the campsite. Like, the campsite's great, but it's all the other things in Gloucester that bring the people back. You know, it's everything. It might be the business, but it's also they're coming to the beaches, the restaurants, the right people, you know, that they can actually afford to camp and then visit here, because otherwise sometimes staying in the hotels, while beautiful, it can be costly. So it's affordable more for families if they camp and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you love, I mean, are there certain customers that you come back to that you think, like, that are iconic customers of yours?
Oh, yeah.
Because I have people at the dock that, like, are very special to me.
Right.
I'm sure there are people here at the Crow's Nest that are special to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And isn't that kind of like she talked about family, like, I at my business, I feel like some of our lobstermen are kind of like family.
Right.
Isn't it? I mean.
I agree. Yeah, some people are, and they come back year after year, and that's great. And then and they also bring their generations back, which is nice. So like we're a generational business, as are you, but then, you know, I now have people camping with us that are third or fourth generation camping with us. So
I stayed there once. My daughter was little and she wanted to go camping. I'm like, so a friend of mine owned a trailer and he parked it at the campground and let me stay in it, and I brought my daughter camping.
There you go. There you go.
So it was a lot of fun.
So she
and I didn't have to sleep in the tent.
I feel like camping, like right now, it has. I'm not all about that camping.
Took a wild guess on that.
But Chris and I were talking earlier. I am obsessed with the little house movement and glamping.
Oh, yeah.
I am obsessed with it, and I think that there is a big. It's really hot right now. I think people are looking for these kind of experiences where they can go to places and not have to be in a tent.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. Have kind of like posh things in cool locations.
Right.
So I
treehouse move.
So Nicole, actually, I was so
the whole minimalist.
It's a treehouse.
I was gonna.
Yeah. Are you ready? What? Are you ready? What? Nicole, that's my name.
So Nicole is my go-to when. I need some type of research on, like, where to go or what to do, because I feel like she's obsessive about it, and she always, because she does our weekly family, like, here's your list of the top three things to do in Boston.
I look for it every week.
And she always delivers. So if I put her on an assignment, like, I have my daughters, we're going to go away to this location, find me something awesome to do, she always delivers, right?
He always then ignores it, but yeah. Puts me to work.
Yeah.
So we
to work at my office. You know, I spend 10 minutes, and then you go do something completely different.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the endorsement.
But you always come up with great things. It just may not work out with our schedule. Yeah.
They are great.
Good excuse.
But the new one that I want to put you on is to find like the best glamping locations. Yeah. Like I really want to go. On my bucket list is go up to like New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Like lakefront and some really not tent.
Yeah, no, I know you well enough for that.
Like, yeah.
I want a campfire. I want have a charcoal grill, and I want to have a wood. Light? And I
want
to have a wood stove.
Wet wood.
What's that?
He wants a wet wood in those forests.
No wet wood. No wet.
And he wants freshwater lobsters too.
Yeah.
A lake with freshwater lobster.
A clean sitting area.
Oh, we gotta get Felicia in here. Felicia, yeah. Joe's sister, joined us today. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Felicia would be the queen of clean. Felicia's not all about that camping lifestyle.
Felicia's coming. You have to come to the cabin.
Glamping, four
seasons. Yeah.
If
you find it, we will come.
Glamping and clamping, two different things.
Yes.
So do you think, are you up to that task?
I'm on it. I know a couple places already.
Can you mention any off the top?
No, I don't know their names, but I've been looking, this summer I looked. We're a big fan of houseboats.
Yeah,
the one in Charlestown.
Where?
Yeah, the houseboats. So on that, we've been looking for campsites.
Oh, yeah.
In my purse behind Paula.
There are so many houseboats in the
small pocket.
There are houseboats, but you can't have a campfire on a houseboat. And the other thing is, one of my friends went on a houseboat on the Anisquam River, and they said that it was just happened to be the wrong like 2 weeks. And the horse flies or the black flies ate them up alive to the point where they could not, they could not be outside. And they actually left early because the black flies are eating them up so much.
They didn't know. That's when you go to Good Harbor Beach. You don't go to the river though. Yeah.
Or if you're a real insider, you go to Niles Beach. But we don't like, Good Harbor Beach snob.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so why do you like Good Harbor better than Niles?
Well, because it's a way better. I mean, it's bigger. The sand is better. There are no rocks. The waves. You can body surf. I mean, growing up at Niles Beach, because we had to go there. My mother had 6 kids. You had to go to Niles.
You can keep track of them.
You keep track of them. And remember, that was when there was the bubble. Remember, we used to swim at Niles Beach, and it was all sewer.
Oh, that's right. The bubble.
Have
yeah.
It in my head, it's like, ooh, it's like the Jenny's Beach ever. There's a bubble.
Wasn't there a
flood? Lots of people know the bubble. God, I'm really showing my age here. No one knows about the bubble but me.
No, it's very clean.
The bubbler.
Yeah,
the bubbler.
The bubbler. The bubbler. So not too far off of in Gloucester Harbor.
Off a pavilion.
Oh, off of Pavilion Beach. Yes. The sewerage. There was wasn't the sewer system that we have now. Raw sewage was dumped into the
piped right out there.
Should not
middle, I don't know if we need this in front of Yankees.
That's where you caught the good fish.
Mackerel. Yeah, everyone knows. That's where you caught the mackerel.
What do you feel? How do you feel about this situation here, Larry Pine?
So, Joe, I mean, you talked about, there was some discussion about houseboats. That's where Lamb Chop was born.
You conceived or born?
Born.
Oh, okay.
Lamb Chop was born. We went on a houseboat in Lake Powell this past summer, and that's where Lamb Chop was born.
But honey, you
better do
Lamb Chop.
No, Lamb Chop doesn't like to be on camera.
Lamb Chop doesn't like to.
Hey, everybody! Just you moving your hand.
What, Lamb Chop?
I just want to congratulate Joe for his 300th podcast. Joe, congratulations. Give me a kiss. Oh, thank you very much.
I'll
and a hug. Give me a hug. Thank you, Joe. I love you.
I love you, Lamb Chop.
Now we see a sensitive side.
Al Bezanson is here.
Al,
come on in. You have to come in close. The mic has to pick you up, so you have to come in close.
This is about the crow's nest.
Yes.
It's important history. Who knows that back in the 70s, every Friday lunchtime, the vice president of operations treated to lunch here.
For at Gordon's?
I know that. I'm going to say
for a group of engineers who made important...
contributions?
Big contributions, really, to Gordon's and the whole fisheries. We figured out ways to save fish, cutting fish blocks that saved millions and millions of pounds of fish. And we did it on the backs of napkins here at lunchtime back in the 70s. Who knew that?
Who cooked your lunch? My mother, Ethel, she cooked your lunch.
See that?
No, that's the truth.
Yeah. Small world stuff right here. On the back of napkins, I think the best ideas are always conceived on the back of napkins.
You might be right about that.
The best things happen outside the office.
Yeah, lots of phone numbers, right?
Yeah.
I was very involved at Gordon's, for sure, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. His hat, too. What is that?
So, we had so Kim, I want you to get in close. I want you to emote. I didn't know this. Did everybody know that they're filming a Showtime thing on Main Street right now?
Yeah.
Showtime TV?
I know that.
It's called The Wrong Man. And it's based on a BBC show that aired in 2014. And they're going to be filming here until about October 15th at I4C2.
That's
City
what's
Hall
going on down there.
Main Street. And other locations.
Did you say the wrong man?
The wrong man.
It's the story of my life.
I think that story's been told before.
We're coming out with a sequel called The Wrong Woman.
Always the man.
Fake news.
It is what it is.
Fake news. Don't believe
fake
it.
News.
Stay tuned for the sequel.
For the real truth.
You also wanted to mention Aprilla Farms and Iron Ox Farm are having a pizza party tomorrow, Sunday, from 4 to 7.
From 4 to 7. Yep.
Where is that?
Still tickets available online in Essex.
So congratulations to Frank DiMercurio and Chris Sicuranza. The first same-sex marriage today is at Gloucester City Hall, and it's being officiated by Safathia. That's why she couldn't be here.
We should raise that glass.
Cheers.
The first
I love that with trendsetters.
All right, I have a question. Kate, do you need a drink? You're not drinking?
She has one right
there. You're not currently drinking, though.
She is, too.
Is everything okay?
She's still got second thoughts.
Shots.
Oh, shoot.
Shot.
Anything you want to tell us, Kate?
I have, okay, Nicole.
Any news you want to tell us?
She's pregnant. We're breaking it right now.
She's pregnant.
On the 300 podcast.
We got a major announcement
pregnant.
On the 300.
Kate is pregnant.
Kate.
Holy cow.
I've never seen Kate.
When's the reveal, buddy?
I would throw myself off the fucking bridge. I would throw myself off the bridge.
Which one?
The A-Pod Andrew Bridge. I would throw myself off the bridge.
The Detroit TV would come.
So, Nicole, we're going to have a little discussion.
Super.
And it's not, it's kind of a...
cringing as you... go ahead. Sorry.
Why do you hate me?
I know.
Okay. So we were having this conversation earlier, but you traveled. You had a girl trip with Missy Pierce.
Yep.
And you were, on social media, you were talking about how one of the people's bags.
Oh, for the love of God!
Didn't make it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I just want let me explain before you shit on me.
Okay.
You might be.
So for years and years and years, my theory was. that for travel, next level traveling is you pack a carry-on and no more than a carry-on, and then you carry a backpack that can fit underneath the seat so you don't have to check a bag. And to me, that was, without question,
that's all I do, ever.
Smart, next-level traveler. You're in that camp.
Hey, I do that. No, Karen does that.
You fall in that camp. Okay. I just want to put out there this alternative way of thinking. And there may be a little bit of...
Fucking shit. alternative way of thinking.
There may be a little... No, there may be a glimmer of a good idea part.
Saneness
to it. So the theory, I want you to explain the other side of that argument of checking a bag. Explain the argument for checking a bag.
I can contribute to this. Often, I don't check a bag. I mean, I'm pretty low maintenance. But we were going away for 6 days to Key West. We were stopping in Miami or Lauderdale. We knew we were going to have a few drinks. And we all texted each other. There were 5 of us before we went, and we all decided we'll check luggage, and we'll have our hands free, and whatever. We had our layover. On the way home, we actually had a 4-hour layover. We actually thought we might leave the airport and go to the Elbow Room in Lauderdale, and so it was a conscious decision to not check our luggage for that trip. Freddie's rule of thumb is you pack and you carry it. So I've always traveled light because you literally only can carry it to the airport. So often I don't, but that time we made a decision and it backfired.
No, that's fine though.
Our luggage didn't arrive.
So you have a couple of different options, right? So there's pros and minuses, because I never really thought about the pros of checking a bag.
Yeah.
That you're completely
hands free at the airport.
You're completely hands free.
Yeah.
And
against the wheelie board.
What's that?
Shoulder bag only against the wheelie board. Don't carry your wheelie board. You carry your bag on your shoulder. Two weeks in Europe. Week two, you do laundry on that Sunday, and you're all set.
One pair of underwear.
Well, I don't wear underwear. So.
much like Spicoli.
Actually, that'd be a good, vote, Joe. How many guys wear underwear? How many don't?
Okay. Oh.
I can't imagine not wearing underwear.
Me neither. You don't wear underwear?
I can't imagine the chafing. You wear underwear, right?
Nice.
Yeah, I do. I can't.
How many of you guys are wearing underwear? Raise your hand.
Here we go.
Those are your underwear. There's a couple of hands. Okay. All right.
No underwear, Crab? Raise your hand.
No underwear? Anybody?
Okay.
Party of one. No underwear.
I got one in the back.
I may have the wrong day on, but I'm wearing underwear.
Well, backwards.
It's called cowboying it when you don't.
It's called a lot of things.
I can't imagine. So how do you avoid the chafing when you don't wear underwear? Or is that not a non-factor?
Okay.
So I grew up playing.
Yeah.
I
think I might need another.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wearing
underwear right now.
There's no shape. Right?
What are you doing? You pin it up behind your ass, or what are you doing? How do you avoid the chafe?
The chafe.
What if you?
It's supple like lambskin. It's soft and supple. And
what if you flatulate?
All right.
Wait, not a real lamb chop.
Can we go back to the airport?
What if he flatulates?
No.
Because I learned that word some recently. Flatulate, and you get it all over your shorts.
I don't have that issue. I do intermittent fasting.
They call that a shark.
Did I hear right?
Back on the agenda.
Yeah.
Let's back on the agenda.
See, I think.
No,
you wear bird dogs. Bird dogs has stain-proof shorts. They're awesome.
See, I think a girl could get away with the no underwear thing a lot easier than a guy could get away with it.
But I wear shorts. Bird dogs, you don't have to wear underwear with them.
Wait, bird dog. I never heard of this. Bird dogs.
They're unbelievable shorts. I think the founder of the company is from St. John's Prep, local company, or a local kid, Danvers. He's got a bunch of kids from St. John's Prep. These aren't bird dogs, but I'm telling you. What? Oh, he was on Shark Tank, too.
What?
Local.
Did you watch the Shark Tank episode?
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Come over here.
Coming in.
Thank God.
Connor McCarthy's here to talk about
all this underwear talk.
We have a drink.
So they were on Shark Tank.
Their whole business model is no underwear, gym shorts, and actually being business casual. So they're beautiful.
Business.
I wish I had some on right now, but they're not. They're no underwear, gym shorts.
Hey, so I'm, as usual, I'm out in front.
That's right.
You're out in front of the
So today, is there like a pouch built in to?
It's like compression shorts inside your shorts, but it's all one.
So you are
brilliant. It's brilliant.
I think, see, that's next level stuff right there.
Could you stop looking at me when you talk about that? Because I'm having trouble. I'm having a little trouble processing.
Bird dog.
Bird dog. Plug for bird dogs.
Come over here. Yeah. Wait, is Alicia here?
No, I'm the representative.
All right, Bridget, come over here, Bridget.
What's up?
So, as some people know, we also have the Homie Cast, and we have Alicia Unleashed on Good Morning Gloucester.
A lot of spit.
Bridget, would you call yourself the producer of Alicia Unleashed?
The executive producer, yes.
Executive, also?
I know you.
Yeah, hey.
I'm sorry, I was wondering.
So how many episodes of Alicia Unleashed are there now?
Technically on record, there is 85, but there is about 89 altogether.
Out there.
Because there are certain ones that absolutely could not make the air. Because there would be a shit show.
Yes, there was one that was taken down by request of the guest, a very honorable guest. So we took it down for his request. Yes.
We
has a few of those.
I think we have two
Everyone
or three.
Is.
I was involved in one of them.
Yeah.
But Alicia, for years, would shit on the Homie Cast because we didn't keep pace with Alicia Unleashed. But I never hear her comparing it to the Gloucester Cast.
So we'd already
Right. Well, the Gloucester Cast is a little different. There's a little different vibe focus. There. Yeah, there's a little vibe. Different focus between the Gloucester Cast, the Homie Cast, and the Alicia Unleashed. The Alicia Unleashed and Homie Cast are pretty much the same vibe, only coming from female and male perspective.
Right.
And the Gloucester Cast is a completely different vibe.
Right.
Different.
It's more, we talk about more upbeat things, like men not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's much more highbrow than the Gloucestercast where we talk about those types of things.
Right. I think Gloucestercast talks about what's going on versus, like theater.
What's coming
on.
Hanging out.
And what, everybody's having that kind of conversation. Absolutely.
I mean.
So now that our friend Alicia Cox has moved away, what can we expect going forward? Are you going to take the reins and push Alicia aside? Are you basically taking over Alicia Unleashed?
Oh,
are you
going to
call it Bridget Unleashed?
Oh, you mean B-side on the side? I'm nervous now. I'm shaking. I don't know. That is boss man. That is your call. I don't know. That's still Alicia's show?
It sounds like you're ready to kick her to the curb.
Though. Yeah, not at all.
I did not hear her deny. I did not hear her deny at all. She said it's up to me.
We're on hiatus. She's got a lot going on. She's in school. She's got a lot of family stuff going on. Her kid is in high school now, which is still a transformation. So, I'm on a crazy path right now. So I got some leagues happening. So there's that.
So Alicia Lou Who, who I have never met.
She's here.
I saw her come in. Can you get her here so she can...
Alicia. Alicia. It's Alicia. Not Alicia. It's Alicia.
Alicia.
Come here, Alicia.
Alicia Lou Who on Instagram or Twitter?
Both.
Twitter as Alicia Lou Who.
And that's how we met.
We never met though.
No, but that's how we were. I followed you. This is the first time
we met face to face.
But I followed you on Twitter.
Right.
You thought I was hilarious, which is hilarious.
Well, I thought you were interesting in the way that you had drama, man drama in your life constantly.
No, well, see, there has to be a man for there to be man drama.
Are you married?
No.
Very eligible. Very eligible.
This just got
very eligible.
Very good.
So, Alicia.
Alicia.
Alicia, I'm sorry. Alicia,
I didn't hear you. You were the underwear.
So we always, so our interactions were always you saying that, like, you know, putting out there about these dating failures, and me giving you advice. And what was the best man advice I ever gave you?
It was something like,
we're simple creatures.
Simple creatures. Treat them well. Don't break your balls. It'll be fine. Something like that. There were throwers of what we were missing.
So, I gave the best piece of advice I could ever give a woman that wants to be with a man. Mike, listen to this and you tell me if you agree. I gave her this advice on Twitter. Never met her before, but I said, she was always talking about these dating failures.
Okay.
And I said, listen, having a man is, men are simple creatures.
Sure.
Don't break their balls. Right?
Okay.
Literally.
Okay.
Give them a little sugar every once in a while. It doesn't have to be nightly. It doesn't have to be weekly. But like every couple of weeks, you gotta have a little sugar.
Sugar.
Right? And what was it?
Make sure you're fed well.
And feed them.
Oh, feed.
And those three things, that and after that, a man can overlook a ton. Like you could be.
It's gotten very
quiet. Even Joe not doing the laundry.
Make sure you feed
even
him.
Even Joe not doing the laundry.
You say that, make sure you feed him.
I haven't saved all
the Joe, you've never been more wrong in your whole life.
So we have two single people here. The most eligible bachelor in Gloucester and the most eligible bachelorette in Gloucester. Tell me how, if my thought process, where it's flawed, Michael.
A little bit of sugar. I don't know what you define as sugar. So we have to start with
same
that.
Thing Def Leppard said.
So,
if
it's physical intimacy, once in a while.
Yeah, Joe.
You're way off.
Oh, no, oh, no.
Okay.
So maybe?
It's just spooning, Joe. Just spooning's okay sometimes.
They're going to have your back. You got to have their back. They're going to put you first and you put them first.
You hear this, ladies?
Good for you,
Mike Bonet at gmail.com.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this man. I mean, get him off of Match.com. Get him off of
Grindr. Get him off of Grindr.
Get him off of Tinder. Get him off of Facebook. Right. Come on, ladies. Call in now. You have 5 minutes left. 1-800 Mike Bonet. Come on, Mike. Look at that camera and tell the ladies why they should pick you.
Hey, here's to Gloucestercast 400 in Naples.
Oh, don't tell me about that, Gloucestercast
400 in Naples.
I think this would be a nice thing. I think this would be a nice thing.
You might be seeing history happening right now.
Mike, she's a nice girl, Mike.
If it works out, you have to get engaged here. We do weddings.
Alicia, describe where would be the best first date for you. Where should Mike take you for your first date?
Crow's Nest! Yeah.
Wait, Joey, our second date, because our first date is apparently right now.
I know.
I'm sorry, I should correct myself. Where should your second best date be?
I don't know.
Well, okay, what's a good first date for you? Red Sox playoff game?
Ooh, that'd be
good. Duckworth? Mike knows the owner.
Just say both. Dinner in the Red House.
Yeah. What?
Can we do both?
Oh, there you go.
Send a golf bag. That's good. Because you know what?
Power moves only.
I've never seen Mike this quiet.
I know. All of a sudden, Mike really got centered. I've never seen him so centered.
I know.
So you mean a strong, independent woman. A lot of
chutzpah. Tell America, Mike, what you're looking for. GoMatch.com. What you looking for,
maybe
Joe?
Maybe another Bloody Mary at this point.
I want to live on a boat for a couple months out of the year.
You already do that.
Yeah.
At yourmatch.com.
Wow. Oh, maybe we should be Crow's Nest Match.com.
Yeah, they're right.
It's the best.
You know, we have Wicked Tuna. Maybe we have a Wicked Crow's Nest or something. You know, we can open up our own thing.
The Red Sox used to do the dating on the right field.
Yeah, you can do it during the game.
That's what we need to have during the podcast. You can have a couple of background, hand
friend of him every once in a while.
I think this is a match made in heaven right here. I mean, wouldn't that be a, hey, that would be our first wedding. That's okay. Hey, we don't mind that. We don't, listen, my theory on when we record, like,
we're going to start all over.
We're going to have to start all over.
We've had weddings here.
From New York. He's from New York.
New Yorker, cut in front of the shot. Leave it to a New Yorker to cut in front of the shot. Hey, make sure Greg Payne charges them double for their drinks.
Get these people out, Greg.
Oh, here we go. Watch this. We have a question. You guys come over. So we have a question.
Sign the consent. We have to have
it. You're not on camera. Don't worry about it.
That's fine.
Okay. So are you guys aware of this trend called glamping?
Yeah.
Are you guys camping type people?
He's like, no, I'm not.
I'm a glamper.
I'm all about the glamping.
Yeah, I have a friend. My daughter's camping right now as we speak.
She's a camper.
But you guys are from New Hampshire.
Correct.
The reason I brought you into the shot right now was because we're looking for solid advices. Where, like, lakeside glamping spots, where would you send people in New Hampshire?
No pressure.
No pressure.
No,
pressure.
No tents.
Cedarwater
Beach.
My cousin's gonna place a Squam. It's gorgeous out there.
Swan Lake?
Squam Lake. On Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond. Correct.
Now, do they have places that are not tents that you can stay in?
Bed
and breakfast is camping to me.
I like that.
That's one in the same.
The only time
I'd want to get that close
sandwich
to the
Hampshire.
Chart is when I'm dead.
What's the city?
Sandwich. Correct. Yeah, beautiful there.
There we go. Squam Lake.
So the second question is, what brought you to Gloucester?
And what brought you to the Crow's Nest specifically?
A beautiful day. Love the perfect storm of the ocean.
I love these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Hey, you've been my new best friend. Yay! My new best friend.
Cut in jail. All
right. Nice to meet you.
Get him
a pancake shot for Christ's sake.
Give him this thing. Let me get that thing.
Good morning, Gloucester. You can watch us on Good Morning Gloucester.
You're going to go to Good Morning Gloucester.
Thanks for coming by. We're not interviewing any Yankees.
We have that bag. We might need it for someone else.
No. Look at you all. Don't worry. We got plenty. Nice to meet you.
Have a great day.
Welcome to Gloucester. Enjoy your time here. You found a great spot. Tell your friends to come over. All right. This is it. This is the GloucesterCast 300th episode coming to a close.
We got more shit to talk about.
We got a minute and 45 seconds.
We can go all day long, but we can't.
I said, and keep in.
I'm your producer. You listen to me. Let me tell you the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Maybe she asked
him. You want to be up on that wall.
Let's
talk about high school stories.
This is where we cut it. This is where we roll to the credits.
What you did in high school.
This is where we roll to the credits. Thank you to Greg and Mary Ann Schaffer for hosting us. Thank you for Kim for always being here for me.
Yes.
Thank you for all our other contributors for Good Morning Gloucester. And I couldn't be happier. 300th episode, we made it. No one died. Come to the Crow's Nest. This is the spot where the real people hang out. Let me jump. I love you. Good morning, Gloucester.
Good job.
Hey, good job, Joey.
Good job.
Hey, we did it.
We did it.
Hey, Kip.
We did it.
Go ahead.